Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is December 17th, and it is Thursday. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 23, paragraph 2, which begins with "Once in a while." Today's readers are Naomi B. for the 12 Steps, Martha Z. for the 12 Traditions, Brandy M., Kathy Jo P., Dion R., Jody E. will greet our newcomers after we stop the recording, and Leslie M. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, December 18th, 2020, is 16005. That's 16,005. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, December 17th, is 16,010. That's for the 7 a.m. meeting, 16010. Thank you. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will ask Naomi B. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The 12 steps. 1, we admit that we're powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our constant contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. And I'll now ask Martha Z. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, also from outside of Philadelphia. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martha Z. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone should be muted except the speakers. Please use star 1 to do that. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 23 in the second paragraph in the chapter, There's a Solution. And I will ask Brandy M. to please begin reading.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. Once in a while, he may tell the truth, and the truth, strange to say, is usually that he has no more idea why he took the first drink than you have. Some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time, but in their heart, they really do not know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they are a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. But they are often suspect. They are down for the count. I really like this paragraph, actually. So I often wondered why, you know, I felt like I was trapped, like that I was being held hostage in my own brain, because my brain would say, you know, I don't want to do that. And my actions would, I would be doing it. And I could never understand why is it that even though, you know, I want a happy life, I want, you know, contentment in my home, I want to not eat my binge foods, there I was, you know, like it says somewhere in here, like all lit up again and just, you know, a constant repeated pattern. And I, you know, for so long, I didn't understand what was wrong with me. And, you know, I would make excuses like, oh, you know, I had a really hard day, or, oh, like I lost weight. So that's my excuse now to eat. And, you know, what I know today is that my mind is just different when it comes to food. And, you know, the great obsession that I'm going to beat the game. And, you know, that caused me a lot of trouble because I did want to beat this game. I wanted to prove myself non-compulsive overeater and spent many, many years trying to do that, and which led me to, you know, a horrible relapse. And but the thing I'm grateful for is that horrible relapse led me to recovery. And that gift of desperation. And so today I don't need to sit in the confusion. I don't need to wonder why I am this way, because this book tells me, you know, why, because I have the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, and my mind is very different when it comes to a compulsive overeater. compulsive overeating, and you know, I have a broken brain when it comes to food and the ideas around food. And so this book tells us that there's also a solution, and I'm living in that solution today, which I'm so grateful for. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Brandy. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. If you'd like to comment on this powerful paragraph, please press star one to unmute if you haven't shared since Monday. Anybody want to share?
Mary G.
Mary G. Stephanie F. Anybody else?
Dev E.
Dev E.
Danielle W.
I heard Danielle W. and somebody H. Who had a last initial of H that wanted to share? I didn't get your name. Okay, well, I've got Mary G., Stephanie S., Dev E., Danielle W., and last call for someone who had put their name out with a last initial of H. Okay, you can jump in the next lineup. Mary G., you're up first.
Sabrina H.
Oh, Sabrina H., thank you.
Thank you.
Mary G., you're up first, and you'll be followed by Stephanie S. Star one to unmute, Mary G.
Oh, sorry about that. Hi, this is Mary G. in Mesa, Arizona. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And boy, that very first line, once in a while he may tell the truth. The truth, oh my goodness. When I was in my disease and I was eating, I did not have a clue what the truth was about my illness, about my disease. I even lied about my food to myself. I was so in so much denial that, you know, I would go to my closet and start to put on a pair of pants and think, oh my God, how did this happen again? How come I can't get in these pants again? I mean, it was just such a horrible thing. And you know, I would go back to try another diet, even in OA. I used OA for many years to try to become normal. I thought that's what the goal was. I thought the goal was to become a normal eater, to be able to moderate, to not have that constant obsession with the food. You know, I just didn't realize what the disease was really, how it really was. And so for me, the manifestation of the disease is always the lie. It's always the lie that it's going to tell me. It's going to say, you know, Mary, this really isn't going to hurt you this time. Look how long you've maintained your abstinence, and this will not bother you. You will be able to handle it this time. I cannot tell you how many times I believed that voice when I was still eating. The good news is that once I became recovered, once I had that personality change, it was no longer a diet with group support. It was no longer, you know, white-knuckling it at times. It was actually what the promises tell us. I had that neutrality around food. It was such a gift. But the thing is that the gift, you know, was not just limited to the food. The gift is that I have so much neutrality in so many other areas of my life. It was just such an amazing, it is such an amazing journey to be on. And I am so grateful for this meeting and for all of you who share on the lines. And I will pass with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mary G. Stephanie S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Dev E. Please go ahead, Stephanie. Star one to unmute, Stephanie.
Sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. this is Stephanie S., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And for me, this paragraph just spoke so much to me and speaks to me. It said, where it says, but in their hearts, they really do not know why they do it. And that was just so how I felt. I was truly a baffled person when it came to my eating. I could not figure out why. I could not just stop. I tried everything under the sun, and I just couldn't stop. And I will always remember the first meeting that I listened on, and they spoke of the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And for the first time, I felt free. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not, it's not me. It's not that I'm not strong-willed enough. I have this problem. I have this this obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. And it was just so freeing to me to hear that and know that there was an answer, there was a solution. And, you know, I would before that would just want try to beat the game. Well, let me try this diet. Let me try that diet. Maybe if I cut this out. Maybe if I don't eat that. Maybe if I do intermittent fasting. You know, trying all the different things to try to win. And I am just so grateful for this program and for what it has shown me and for every single one of you that share and give your service. It's just an amazing, amazing program, and I'm so grateful for it. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Stephanie S. Bev E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Danielle W.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I'm always in such a rush to share that I don't stop to thank everybody who puts this meeting together. This meeting means so much to me, even more so now that I've moved halfway across the world. And just to be able to connect with you guys on it every day is really powerful for me. So this first line really stood out to me. Once in a while, he may tell the truth, because it implies that most of the time he's lying, right? It's only occasionally that the truth may come out. And I've heard lots of people refer to themselves as liars in OA, and I never wanted to look at myself as a liar. I was like, I don't lie. You know, I wouldn't call myself a liar. That seems so extreme. But again, with so many other things, you know, that I've discovered along in my recovery, is that just because I was honest with, you know, giving the correct change or giving back money if I was giving the incorrect amount of change, that doesn't define honesty. That's just one level of it. And, you know, as I started to go through the different levels of honesty, it started with being honest about my food. And then realizing that I was so dishonest, and most of it was in order to protect my own self-image, that I didn't even know I was being dishonest. I started to believe my own lies, and then I would just remember the lies. And so I wouldn't think I was lying, because I would just be kind of standing behind this truth that I created for myself, which wasn't true at all. And I feel like there's something in every sentence of this paragraph, but, you know, but in their hearts, they really do not know why they do it. And that was a big thing that was a change for me once I started in OA. You know, I really had no idea why I kept going to the food, why I kept binging, couldn't understand it. And then in OA, when I started to hear other people's experiences and started to understand more about what was going on with me, is that I did understand it. I could understand what I was doing. And then I had enough knowledge to know that if I took that first bite, then I was just, you know, down for the count. But if I didn't take that first bite, I could maintain some kind of, you know, I could have a different life. And, you know, this, I'm trying to think, there was something I wanted to say about this paragraph, but, oh yeah, and then there is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. You know, that, like, that obsessive
gentle
thinking,
reminder?
Like, okay, thank you, that, you know, I can do this on my own, and I never could. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry I was muted and just talking away. Danielle W., thank you very much. You're up next, and you'll be followed by Sabrina H. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Danielle W. from Southern California. I'm so happy to be here with all of you today. This paragraph means a great deal to me. The line there is the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. You know, I was so certain that if I just found the key to unlock the mystery, I would be better. I could heal myself. And I think for me, you know, having spent a lifetime in therapy for very severe trauma early on, you know, I had found so much healing in that. And in that, I was able, the more I understood what had happened and the connection to how I lived my life, the more healing occurred. And so I just assumed that somehow that was going to translate. And, you know, even more than all the diets, and there were many, and, you know, trying to control the food and, you know, all the relapsing, the one thing for me was the obsession and the amount of time I put into self-analysis. Because I just was certain, you know, if I knew why I ate, or I knew, you know, what was going on during the times of day when I ate more, I would, the magic would happen and I would figure it out. And, you know, I'm so fortunate to have found a vision and to have found just a beautiful sponsor. And, you know, I'm realizing now self-knowledge avails me absolutely nothing. You know, I have a disease of the body and the mind, and the whys don't matter. And for the first time ever, there's freedom around food, and I get to put down all that crazy thinking. And it's just, what peace, you know, what peace. So thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. Sabrina H., you are up next, and then we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on...
Good morning.
Hi,
good morning.
Hang on just
Sabrina
3 seconds.
H.
Sabrina, I'm just going to let everybody know what we're commenting on, so if they want to share after you do. We're in the chapter, There's a Solution, on page 23, and we're commenting on paragraph 2, which begins with once in a while. Please go ahead, Sabrina. Let us know where you're from.
Good morning. Sabrina H., compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for everybody's service and for all the shares this morning. Wow, just this paragraph, there is so much, as everyone has said. You know, for me, at this sentence, some drinkers have excuses with which they are satisfied part of the time. I think that for me, I had so many ideas in my head about why, you know, I couldn't get the weight off, or why I couldn't stop eating certain foods. And I wanted to hold on to those ideas, you know, my thyroid, my this, the, you know, whatever it was. And it was, it satisfied me sometimes. Like some days that would be okay and I could sort of get through the day. But most of the time I couldn't. And of course I know that that was not the truth. That was a lie, as I understand it today. And the idea about the obsession that somehow someday I'll beat the game. And, you know, I walked through like 6 years thinking I was abstinent up until about a month ago, and started calling in and hearing, you know, that I did not have the recovery in this way that that other people had. And wondering why every morning I would wake up and convince tell myself I'm not going to eat foods that I thought were abstinent. That I, of course, discovered today are not abstinent, that are still causing that obsession. And the obsession that I would beat it was as strong as the obsession of the actual food. So I lived all day, every day, obsessing about not being a compulsive overeater and beating it and showing myself and everybody that I could eat X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, having the same strong obsession to eat those foods all day long. That was the cycle. And today I don't have that. It's like 30 days of real freedom from food and food obsession and obsession that I have something to beat. It's just an absolute miracle. I'm so grateful to have had the willingness to tell the truth in that moment, first to myself and then to somebody else. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very, very much, Sabrina H. So we value your experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. If you'd like to comment on this paragraph, press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Judy Liz S. Wendy B.
Judy S. and Wendy B.
Liz S.
Liz S.
Anna Maria.
Darlene T.
Anna Libby Maria. B. Anna Maria, somebody T, and Libby B. Who ended with the last initial of T?
Darlette P.
Darlette P, that's probably what I heard. And I think that may be all we have time for. Maybe I'll fit one more just in case. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Okay, I've got Jody S., Wendy B., Liz S., Anna Marie, didn't get the first initial of your last name, Darlette P., and Libby B. So let's take it from there. Judy S., you are up first, and then Wendy B.
Good morning. My name is Judy S., and I am a compulsive overeater. I'm right where this paragraph is. Just recently got abstinent and started working with a sponsor after, disappearing for 6 months. And I was down for the count, and I'm back. And I, doing my step one, I listed all my excuses. And so now, you know, as I'm listening to all the shares, I do now have an idea of why I take that first bite. But that still doesn't help. I need to realize that I am powerless and do everything I can to reach out to others and my higher power. And constantly, throughout the day, remind myself that I am powerless, because that the lies that I do tell myself, even though I know what my excuses are, I still, those lies still pop into my head. And that's the obsession of the mind. For years, my entire life, actually, I'm 64 now, and for my entire life, I really had no idea why I would take that first bite and why the diets didn't work. And, I'd beat myself up about it. And 10 years ago when I got into OA, I realized it wasn't my fault, but yet, I've just been dabbling in the program ever since, and thought I was recovered, but then I'd pick up again. And so it's that cycle, just that obsession. And the 6 months I was gone from the program, it was like, I thought that I could beat the game. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And so here I am, down for the count, and really grateful for my sponsor and for all of you on the line, and that I'm feeling my higher power with me. And thank you, everybody, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Judy S. Wendy B., you're up next, followed by Liz S. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B. I'm recovered in Arizona. And, that line is so critical to me about, the obsession to somehow someday beat the game. And You know, I had this obsession around the food, you know, for so many years, you know, that if I ate only certain foods, if I combined it a certain way, you know, if I only ate healthy food, you know, et cetera, that I could beat the game, you know, that I can still eat whatever I wanted and not gain weight. And, you know, I didn't want the rules to apply to me. I wanted to eat, you know, however many calories as I wanted, you know, and that my body, you know, more than my body could possibly burn off, and not have to pay the consequences, you know. And I was very resistant to the laws of nature, you know, of how my body's made to function. And I'm just so grateful God enabled me to surrender to His plan for how to feed and nourish my body, you know, that the body that He gave me, that He created, you know, and I need to surrender to His direction, you know. And I still see this obsession, you know, to beat the game, you know, that the rules don't apply to me in other areas of my life, you know, like overworking and not giving my body adequate rest, or willfully, you know, changing things to suit me and not considering how it will affect those around me, you know, when the rules are everyone's preferences matter, you know, and it needs to be a group decision. And, you know, so I'm just really grateful for the traditions, you know, to help me know, you know, what the rules are for healthy relationships, you know, and that I can surrender to them now, you know, that the rules do apply to me. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. Liz S., you're up next, followed by Anna Maria, and I'll need your last initial when you share. Thanks.
Hi, it's Liz S., buried in snow in New Hampshire. Very pleased to share. What really touches me about this paragraph is I always think that I'll be fine tomorrow. It's okay. I can you know, I can pick up. It'll be okay tomorrow. Sometimes tomorrow is 6 months. Sometimes tomorrow has been 5 years. So what I realize is that what I'm forgetting is step one. That's what I'm really forgetting if I choose to pick up, is I'm forgetting my powerlessness. I'm forgetting that that's the crux of it. Whatever excuse I make, I don't feel well, it's okay, it won't matter, I'm angry, whatever excuse, I am forgetting the most important step in the 12 is one, that I must take that step perfectly. And if I don't, these excuses, these mistakes that can lead to really dreadful relapses will occur. And the other thing is, I will never be a normal eater. I don't know what normal eating is, but I will never be free from this disease. And I actually don't even think about that. My greatest error is thinking that I'll be okay tomorrow. And I've had relapses that have lasted years. So that tomorrow is a very important word for me to remember, that it's a big tomorrow. So I am safest in just staying abstinent today. And I will never, as Bill says, I will never be a normal drinker. I will never be a normal eater. And that's what I must remember. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz S. Anna Maria, please give us your first initial of your last name before you share, and Darlette P. will follow you.
Hi, I'm Anna Maria L., calling from Oslo, Norway. And I want to thank you for service, and thank you for all the sharings. And I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater today and every day. This hearing this paragraph and hearing the sharings today throws me back to actually when I think it kind of started for me. I was a very little girl. I was about 10 years. And that was the first time I thought, it was around Christmas, and, you know, I was eating and eating. And I remember that I got scared because I couldn't stop. I couldn't understand what's going on inside of me. So I remember I got scared, and then I learned to live with this thing, and it got it got even worse and worse. But anyway, just the feeling, the moment that I as a little girl, why can't I stop? And that's something that, of course, followed me during my years when I was overeating. I also had an anorectic period, and after that, I remember exactly when it started again, because it was like somebody shot me in the head, and then I started to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and I couldn't stop. It was like a big monster inside of me, and very powerful, and I was totally powerless, and I couldn't understand it. I tried to do it, but it didn't make sense for me. Anyway, then overeating progressed for many years, and I came to OA, and that's when my journey to freedom from the obsession started. I was very desperate, and I was very willing and to do anything, and I have been since the first day. I have been always following these guidelines, and the big book is very important for me, and thanks to that, I'm abstinent for 23 years now, and I have reached this, as you talk about, this neutrality around food, because food is not the solution for me. Food is not the solution. I stopped living in the problem. The solution is the big book and the steps, one day at a time, and I'm very, very grateful. And if it would be something that I would say to those who are new, it's that there is always hope. There is always hope. Don't give up. Follow the guidelines and go to meetings and do whatever it takes, and don't let your thinking go in the way for you. Just do things, and your miracle will happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna Maria L. in Norway. Darlette P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Libby B. Please go ahead, Darlette.
This is Darlette P. Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you great.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank everyone who's putting this meeting on today. And I'm Darlette P., a grateful compulsive overeater. And this paragraph for me today just really hits home, because for years I was in the program, and I didn't get the connection that it was the allergy of the brain, the phenomenon of the mind. And when that finally hit me, I knew that I had to change my thinking. That first compulsive bite came from the thought that I would talk myself into having it. I would talk myself into eating it. I don't need to do that today. I can talk myself out of it. I changed that thought around, and then I don't eat. I make myself a cup of tea, or I call another OAer, or I do some reading. I just get out of that thought and get it off my mind, and then the craving goes away. And I know that today, I've relapsed many times over the years, and it was because I didn't trust my higher power, who I call God. I didn't trust God enough to relieve me of the bondage of self. And I can do that today. But in order for me to do that today, I have to stay in 10, 11, and 12 steps. If I don't work those three steps, then I don't have my recovery. So I want to share that with all of you today, that there is hope, because I've been in program many, many years. And it wasn't until I came to Vision and the Big Book that I truly found recovery. And like someone said earlier, you know, keep coming back. Just keep coming back. This program works if you work it. And you have to work it. You have to give it away. You can't keep it if you don't give it away. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Darlette P.
Libby B., you are up next, and looks like we'll have time for a couple more shares after you, Libby. We're sharing on page 23, paragraph 2, Once in a While. Please go ahead, Libby.
Hi, everyone. This is Libby. Actually, I don't know why I said Libby B. That's my middle initial is B. It's Libby M., just in case that matters. I am from, I'm in New Jersey, outside of Philadelphia, and enjoying a snow day today. And I am a compulsive overeater, and just wanted to thank everyone for being here and all of you who are doing service. It's really appreciated and certainly does not go unnoticed. That the last line is just really standing out to me in this paragraph, but they often suspect they are down for the count. And that is exactly what I've been suspecting and what I've been feeling over the last, gosh, probably 6 months or so. So I heard someone, or actually I think it was on a post that I saw somewhere about slipping and sliding. You know, if you feel like you've been slipping and sliding, attend this meeting or something like that. And I've been thinking about that, and that's how I have been thinking, I think, categorizing my my food and my actions over the last several months. So, you know, this is a slip, but I am really trying to come to the acceptance that this is a relapse, and I had a very strong abstinence for, gosh, I guess it was 18 months or so, and now, you know, I've definitely been off track. So just realizing that, you know, like other people have said, is that, you know, this I need to realize. And this paragraph is so true, that this I'm in this for the long haul. And the line about once this malady has a real hold, they are baffled a lot. And I wrote a list for myself comparing how I feel now versus when I felt when I was abstinent. And the baffled prompted me, that word prompted me to think about, how do I feel now versus then when I was abstinent? And some of the words I have for now, being in relapsed, are, and some of this is certainly the circumstances that we're dealing with, you know, being at home so much, but that all feeds into it. Feeling bored, stressed, guilty, annoyed, disappointed, strategizing, feeling absent, scared of being hungry.
Gentle reminder.
Okay, thank you. And then when I was abstinent, I know I felt useful, calm, accepting, helpful, hopeful, present, and comfortable. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Libby M. Okay, so we do have time for two more shares. Who would like to... although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to share today,
hi, this is Diane.
Name.
This is Diane. Ann.
Diane. Diane N. And one more. This is
Mo
Courtney.
H.
Michelle
Mo,
N. Mo H. Michelle, if there's time, I'll pitch in, but I don't think that there's
time.
You
can let Courtney go. Let Courtney go.
Courtney, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. No, thank you. Okay, so Diane and Courtney, and then if there's another minute or so left, we'll have Michelle. So if you're not Diane M, please mute your phone.
Hi, my name is Diane N. I'm from Metro Atlanta, Georgia. I hope you can hear me. I'm out walking. It is so cold here, but I knew I needed to get out, and I am so grateful for this meeting. And for what I've heard, and for the chapter that was read, it brought back a lot of memories. I'm recovered not cured compulsive overeater, but my journey in this program includes a lot of relapsing. But today I'm abstinent, and I want to keep it that way by living in steps 10, 11, and 12 every day, and by remembering God is in control. And that's what that reading reminded me of, all the times when I've been in this program, all the compulsive overeating I've had. And I don't know how many times I've told myself, you can eat it this time, and it's going to be different. Here's why. And I always fall for the okey-doke. I always would get caught up in that. So I was grateful when and that's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of my journey, and it also reminded me that there's hope today. My sister is having surgery in Alabama, about 3 hours away. They decided to do the surgery, and usually all of us go, you know, the ones that can, that's not there. We go and support each other. But this time we couldn't because of COVID. So it's been difficult. And today, I'm glad that I can call onto this meeting and say, you know, all I can do is trust God. And it's easy for me to tell people to trust God and to surrender when they're having problems, but it's different when it's you. So what I had to do this morning, in addition to praying, I must have sent my poor sponsor about 3 or 4 10 steps, one right behind the other, because of all the stuff that's going on with me. But today I didn't eat over it. And I'm just thankful for that. You guys, thank you for letting me share and for your service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Diane N. And Courtney, you are up next. And if you'll give us the first initial of your last name, that would be helpful. Was there a Courtney? Okay.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. Can I have the first initial of your last name, where you're calling from, please?
Yep, Courtney W. Okay. From Boston. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share. I am at the point where I don't feel desperation or anything like that, but I do want to stop eating. I kind of am at the point where, like, I think I do know why I eat. Like, I don't have better coping mechanisms. Like, the food worked for me for so long, and it, you know, still to some extent works. But I know that I would like recovery, and it's uncomfortable, and I'm trying to make myself, it's like a balance between trying to make myself do the things that I don't want to do versus, like, actually listening and honoring myself, heart, like, the idea of, like, oh, I can't trust myself. I really struggle with that. But somebody told me today, you know, just keep showing up, because if you're, you know, if the willingness comes and you're body's not in a place where you can hear the solution, like, you're not going to be able to get it. And so that's what I'm trying to do. And I guess, you know, just keep praying for the willingness to be willing and ask for help and actually receive it when it is offered. But I just appreciate a chance to share, and I'm trying to do what I can and hoping that God does the rest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Michelle, we got just about a minute if you'd like to jump in to share a quick thought or two.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you to everybody on the lines here today. It's a great reading. I'm Michelle N. from Illinois. Gratefully recovered by the grace of God just for today. So this reading really hit me. A couple lines. He has no idea, more idea why he took that first drink than you have. COVID, I got recovered. Yay. I got a new sponsor, and first question she asked me was, when was my last binge? What was it like? And, you know, I could not bring it to mind. I couldn't bring it to mind. I knew I had countless times, and I couldn't even bring one to mind. I think that's, I didn't understand it at the time, but that's the mental phenomenon we're talking about here. Somehow those memories got sucked down into a black hole. And I was just trying to play the game, just trying to do the bare minimum here. As it said in the towards the end of that paragraph, the obsession that somehow someday they will beat the game. Well, as I got into big book studies, I understood that I would never beat the game, and I needed to have tools and knowledge. I needed to fill in the gaps there. So I really feel like I owe my life to the big book, to God, and to fellows in these meetings and big book studies. So everybody, thank you so much for being here. Have a great day, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle N., and everybody who came, who listened, who shared, who helped get this meeting going and keep it going. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy Jo P. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis, and today I'm in Telluride, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.